Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text reads, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. After Peter had first rushed to defend Jesus by drawing a sword and striking the servant of the high priest, after he had then denied his Lord three times by the fire in the courtyard of the high priest, after he and John had sprinted back to the tomb upon hearing from Mary that the Lord was not there, after Peter had returned home, amazed and bewildered, after Jesus had bodily appeared and revealed himself to the disciples over the next 2 weeks in a locked room, after all of this, Jesus reveals himself in this way to Peter and to some of his disciples on the shore of Galilee. Peter had said to them, "I'm going fishing." Now you recall that it was about 3 years earlier that Andrew, which is Peter's brother, came to him and said, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought Peter, then known simply as Simon, to Jesus. 3 years prior to this event, Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," or Peter. 3 years since Peter and the others sold their boats, left their nets or their previous ways of life, and followed after Jesus. And now, Peter says to the men, "I'm going fishing. I'm going back. I'm returning to my home, to my previous vocation, besides which, look, we just need to eat." And no longer doubting Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, and two others went along with him in the boats, and they put out on the Sea of Galilee to catch fish that night. Well, it was a fruitless labor, an exercise in futility. 12 hours of work and nothing to show, not a single fish. Their return to the past glory of their former vocations was a complete bust. They didn't have anything for their next meal, and they couldn't even begin to feed themselves. And then, at the break of day, a voice calls out from the shore, "Little ones, hey, children, do you have any fish?" Now, in spite of their years and their experience of fishing, boy, these men sure seem to be fishing like children, casting nets for the very first time. "No," was the simple reply, but it was probably mixed with exhaustion and frustration. "Cast your nets on the right side and you'll find some." "Really? We've been doing this all night and this voice from shore says, cast on the right side and there'll be fish?" And yet, as ridiculous and improbable as it seems, they cast their empty nets on the right or starboard side of the boat. And in an instant, their exhaustion turns to exhilaration, their frustration to frenzy as they try to pull the net aboard. And all of a sudden, it clicks for John. It's the Lord. And that was enough for Peter. The proclamation, the large catch of fish, he puts on his outer garment, jumps overboard, and thrashes wildly to the shore, leaving the others to haul in the fish that he had first been so eager to catch. Now, none of that mattered. Jesus is here. And look how Jesus is here. Look at the way in which he revealed himself. He is in the flesh, sitting on the shore before them, and he is serving. Serving like he always does. Jesus is feeding the hungry fishermen who could not feed themselves. Just as he washed their feet, just as he fed the 5,000, here is Jesus in the flesh, serving. And so they ate in his presence. They ate breakfast with him. Jesus, the crucified, now risen one, ate with them on the shore of Galilee, as dawn was breaking that morning, and while their nets set full of many large fish. This third revelation was with purpose. Not only to reveal that Jesus was physically risen from the dead, the same Jesus who serves, but to restore, to change Peter. On this third revelation, Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. Three times, one for each time Peter showed how little he loved the Lord. Three times, once for each time Peter denied Jesus by the fire in the courtyard of the high priest. And now, by the fire of breakfast on the shore, Jesus elicits a confession, a proclamation from the denier, and Jesus restores and he changes Peter. But this isn't the first time that Jesus changed Peter. 3 years prior, Jesus gave him a new name, a new identity, as he called him to follow after him. You are no longer Simon. You are Cephas. You are Peter. You are the rock. Jesus had been changing him and restoring him all along. And Peter needed that change. He often opened his mouth before his brain was in gear. He often jumped in with 2 feet before considering the consequences. He was being changed by Jesus over those 3 years leading up to his crucifixion, whereby Jesus would effect the greatest change in Peter and in all humanity. But now, after the resurrection and on the shore by the breakfast fire, it was different. Peter had denied the Lord. He had wept bitterly over his lack of faith and lack of love for his dear friend and rabbi. And he had thought that he would have to live with the fact that he would never be reconciled to Jesus, for death now separated them. But this last sin and all of Peter's sin was met with grace, mercy, and the peace of forgiveness by the risen and living Lord. Feed my sheep, tend my flock. As I have forgiven you, forgive others. As I have served you, serve others. As I have fed you, feed others. And so in this way, Jesus revealed himself to Peter and the others a third time on the shore of Galilee. You know, on this third Sunday of Easter, in the sanctuary of Faith Lutheran Church, the Lord is nonetheless present to reveal himself to you. The fire of the Paschal candle reminds us that the living Lord is here. The meal at the table is where he provides you real food for body and soul, his risen body and blood to feed a need that you cannot provide for yourselves, the forgiveness of your sins. He is present in his word, proclaimed and heard, and by faith you see yourselves you yourselves see that this is not simply a historical account of Jesus, Peter, and the disciples, but that this is your story. For you were also called to follow Jesus in the waters of holy baptism, and you were given a new identity. Jesus has been changing you, restoring you since that very day. There are some days, perhaps many days, where you believe and act like Peter has, opening your mouth without thinking, causing hurt or harm, acting without considering the consequences of your actions, not only to yourself, but to others. And yet, Jesus is gracious and merciful to you, and here he is present to forgive you. You also may have come to a place of despair or hopelessness, wanting to return to a seemingly simpler way of life than to where the Lord has presently called you. And yet he is still present here as he encourages and equips you by his word and spirit. Do you hunger for things to be right? Do you thirst for change? Well, come, for the Lord is present to serve. He gives you the bread of heaven his risen body and blood, and he will continue to do so until the day when his work of change, begun in your baptism, will be revealed to be completed. There's one more thing. On the third revelation of Jesus on the shore of Galilee, he restores Peter and commissions him to care for the Lord's sheep. But Jesus adds this to Peter's restoration. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. John adds this parenthetical note, saying that this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Now, it's not recorded in the scriptures, but the early church fathers and historians record that Peter, after feeding the Lord's sheep by preaching, teaching, and administering the Lord's sacraments for a time, was beaten, stripped, and stretched out on a cross, much like the Lord. And after saying this to Peter, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now, it may not come as a comfort to you to hear from someone what kind of death you're going to face. I don't know if it necessarily comforted Peter in that time. And yet, it wasn't someone who was speaking. It was the crucified and the living Lord who was speaking to him in the flesh, with wounds in hands, feet, and side still visible. The living Lord was certainly speaking of the type of death Peter would glorify him in, but more, Jesus said to him, "Follow me. Follow me in the service of others as I have served you. Follow me in a death like mine, and follow me through death to resurrection life. Behold, I have gone before you, and I will go with you. Follow me." On the third revelation of Jesus to Peter, he was calling him to live out the change that he had begun in him. Jesus was calling Peter to live as a baptized child of God. On this, the third Sunday of Easter, we hear the account of the third revelation of Jesus to Peter and the others, and the threefold restoration of Peter, and we're reminded that we too have been changed and restored in the baptismal font by the threefold name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Jesus has served you, so serve others. As Jesus has forgiven you, so forgive others. As Jesus has fed you, so feed others. As Jesus has died to sin once for all, so daily die to sin, and remember that you are baptized. In this way, Jesus is revealed in you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds. In the name of the triune God, amen.